Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Grab your copy of God's Word. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I hope that you guys had an amazing week. I did. My week started off with the privilege of going to the Kentucky Baptist Convention. If you don't know what that is, the Kentucky Baptist Convention is a body that we cooperate with as Southern Baptists. It's local here in our state. About 2,400 churches represented, and we together make a difference across the state. And I just want to tell you, just to report back to you, that God is doing amazing things all the way from the western tip of Kentucky all the way to the eastern mountains. I mean, God is doing something all over this state. And so as you give, every Sunday when you give, Eastwood sends about 12% of our budget every year to the cooperative program, which does ministry in Kentucky, and it's money well spent, money well given. So I just want to commend you guys. I don't have the recognition award here with me today. We'll maybe do that next Sunday. But this Kentucky Baptist Convention, Eastwood was recognized for a cooperative program giving milestone, a lifetime milestone of giving $5 million over the course of our church's life. And so just praise God for that. Amen. Amen. Guys, that is churches being planted. That is missionaries being sent all over this world. That is missionaries being sent right here. That is helping conventions and states that don't have the resources that we here in the Bible Belt have. And just all over the world, even here in Kentucky, foster children, things like that with Sunrise Children's Home. Just God is doing so many good things. So I just want to encourage you as you think about what we are and what we're a part of here. So I wonder this morning, have you ever known somebody who was really into old cars? They love to restore cars. Some of you may be here. I know some of you here, actually. You love old cars, all right? Those guys, though, that are really into them, that want to take them, they scour the junkyards. They go through the farms, or particularly in the Midwest there, looking for those old wrecks. Something like this old Roach Out 1956 Chevy truck, man. Now, when I see that, I see this dilapidated, old, rusted-out piece of junk that we might as well just take to the scrapyard. Maybe you see that as well. But these guys who are into this, they see something way different. They, even though there's no paint remaining on it, right, they imagine that there is. And though the tires often have long rotted away, they see that baby with the white walls rolling down the highway. And though the seats are nothing but rusty old springs a lot of times, they see them as perfectly stitched and piped upholstery. And they just giggle like a kid at Christmas when they find one of those things. And then they get the honor and privilege of doing something because they see something that we don't see. But then several months later, we see something coming down the road that looks like this. Now I get it, right? Now I see what they saw. When we see that perfectly restored vehicle driving down the road, it finally makes sense to us. It's a thing of beauty. It's a work of art on wheels. When it drives by, everybody's head turns and everybody says, "Wow, that's cool. I want one of those." Wherever they park, they gather crowds. That's one of the neat things about being in Bowling Green, right? We get to see this sort of thing all the time. I want to tell you this morning that God is kind of like those car guys. He loves to take things that are ruined and restore them. He likes to take those things that people have cast out, that have been forgotten, that have been ignored. And he loves to redeem those things that they might be beautiful again. You see, he takes those things because he sees each person, no matter how broken, no matter how morally decayed or anything like that, but he sees them as valuable, as important, as worth saving. He remembers what they were meant to be. He remembers when he sees those people, he remembers his original design for them as he knitted them in their mother's womb. He remembers that design. and he works to restore them to that design. God is a God, y'all, who restores and redeems the ruined. Amen? Amen. Hey, guess what? That's the Bible in a nutshell. That is the story of Scripture, from ruin to redemption. That's the story of Scripture. But today we're going to embark on a journey through the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah in particular, when you think about books of the Bible that kind of paint this overarching theme of ruin to redemption, it's the book of Isaiah. This will take us through the end of 2019. We're calling this series, again, Ruined to Redeemed. So, beloved, hear me very carefully and very closely this morning. God desires to do that in your life. He desires to take you and me from ruin to redemption, from ruined to redeemed. And so as we turn to Isaiah 1, God just makes this abundantly clear through the prophet. Now, the prophet Isaiah, prophesying about 2,700 years ago, 2,800 years ago, something like that. But his word is so relevant today in 2019. God's holy, authoritative, and errant, infallible, sufficient word is for us today. So let's look at verses 1 through 20. Isaiah 1, 1 through 20 says this. It says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning of Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, he's primarily here in Judah, like it says here, but he's watching the divided kingdom of Israel. In these days, it wasn't just Israel unified, it was Israel and Judah. And so he's watching Israel being led away, being destroyed and wiped off the map by the Assyrian people. And he's mainly prophesying at this point to the people in Judah, the southern kingdom. It says this, hear, O heavens, and give an ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children I've reared and brought up, but they've rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers. Children who deal corruptly. They've forsaken the Lord. They've despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They're not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In every presence, foreigners devour your land. It's desolate as overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left with both, is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we'd have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord. You rulers of Sodom, give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. That's ruin, isn't it, church? But we continue. Wash yourselves. You ready for redemption? Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of the deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's case. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray together. Father, that's a big passage of scripture, but I wanted to read every bit of it before this people today, that we might understand the depth of our need for a Savior. That we would understand how red, like crimson, our sin is, and how much you desire, Father, to make that as white as snow. You want to make us snow white, Father. And I pray that today that the people under the sound of my voice would hear that, they would rejoice in that. And if there's anybody who has not yet experienced that, God, we pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the will of the Father, Lord, that today they would turn and trust in Christ and be saved, that they would be washed free, that they would have that victory in Jesus that we prayed for and sang about while ago, Lord. Father, you're so good to us. Move in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask this, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So for you and for me, this text reveals for us at least three truths this morning. And the first truth is this, is that brokenness is all around us and in us, okay? Some of what you just heard as I read that in Isaiah 1, man, it very well might have sounded strange to you, right? He talked a lot about things that maybe it doesn't make sense to you in 2019 and what you've experienced in life, but most of what I read should have sounded pretty familiar. As I read Isaiah 1, to me, it sounded a lot like 2019, right? Rebellion, misunderstanding, iniquity, corruption, division and separation, head sickness, heart sickness, desolation and destruction. Guys, those things, as we read there in Isaiah 1, those are not just 700s BC issues for that little area of land that they called Israel. It's not just a problem there. You see, that's a sinful humanity and a cursed creation sort of issue that traces itself all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And that problem stretches itself all the way forward to right here, Alverton, Kentucky, Scottsville, Kentucky, Bowling Green, Kentucky, and to the ends of the earth. We live in a broken world. And you didn't need me to tell you that this morning. You already knew that, didn't you? We see it everywhere. We see it in society, culture, business, government, education. I mean, even in religious circles, there is brokenness. And it exists from top to bottom. From those who we would call the followers to those that we would call the leaders. Even the leaders in areas of life that are supposed to be the most noble among us. Judges, lawmakers, police officers, doctors and nurses, military leaders, pastors and deacons and teachers, right? We see even in those folks brokenness. We see sickness and death. We see violence and murder and rape, robbery and theft. I mean, just all sorts of sexual morality being paraded around. On top of all that, there is injustice. And there is great conflict among groups and factions and tribes. There is godlessness, but more specifically, there is Christlessness. All of this is happening right here in this greater community. And amongst us, even here this morning, there is brokenness all around us. In fact, you may have come in this morning burdened and weighed down by the brokenness that you live in. Or maybe you saw a news story this morning, and even though you're not living in it because you saw the story, your heart is breaking for something that's happening somewhere else that feels like it's right here. And so you know intuitively and experientially that brokenness is all around us. But according to Scripture, because this is where we got to get real. It's not just all around us. The Bible says that it goes deeper than that. That brokenness is actually in us. It's in us. Look at Isaiah 1 verses 5 and 6. It says there, it says the whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of a foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. That tells us that our thinking is broken, right? We don't think how God thinks. And that our desires and our loves are broken. We don't want what we should want. We love the things that God hates often and hate the things that God loves. And our actions are broken. So instead of doing the right thing, we often do the wrong thing. And we bear the marks of our iniquity from the soles of our feet up to the very tippy top crown of our heads. We're like that 56 Chevy, broken down. Bring that one back if you would. The broken down one that's sitting in that field. That's us. Based on what we have done, we're broken. And we live in a broken world. But that brings me to the second truth I want to share with you this morning. Although we live in a broken world, and it's all around us and it's in us, secondly, you need to understand this morning that that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how that truck came off the assembly line. That's not how it's not what it was designed for and to do to just sit in the field and rot. That's not how it's supposed to be. And your heart, when it comes to this world and you see the brokenness, your heart instinctively knows this. There's a reason, y'all, that when you lay your head down on the pillow at night, you long for something more. There's a reason that you sigh with dissatisfaction. With dissatisfaction, when you think about how things are, there's a reason that you weep at loss and you get so angry and furious at injustice. There's a reason for that. And the reason is that God has written on your heart, this ain't how it's supposed to be. He has written on your heart, he's created in you a longing for what is good and true and just and all those things, and you instinctively, intuitively know that this is not how it's supposed to be. Plain and simple, you know that there are things that should be different. And guys, that's implicit all over our text this morning. That's implicit. The very fact that God is pointing out this whole list of things that are wrong is proof that this isn't how it's supposed to be. A few years ago, this 14-year-old boy, he walked to a doctor there in England. His name was Alfie, and he was feeling sort of strange, and so he decided to go see his general practitioner. And his doc did like any good doc does and says, well, let's get some tests. We need to check you out and see what's going on here. And so he sent him over to the hospital for some of those, and after undergoing this MRI and these CT scans, the doctors took one look at the images and immediately sprang into action. Immediately, Alfie was being strapped to a bed, immobilized, and having a neck collar put around his neck. The doctors right away said, when they saw that image, they said, that is not how that boy's spine, his neck, is supposed to be. They saw it. They noticed right away that Alfie had walked into the hospital that day with a broken neck. I mean, can you imagine? The broken bone, it had moved so far from its natural position that it was compressing his spinal cord and causing him to suffer poor coordination and blackouts. And so they rushed him into surgery, and they were able to fix his neck and his spine. But the scary thing is, guys, is that Alfie had had a broken neck for probably over a decade, they figured. For over a decade, he had no idea. He had played rugby. He had been on roller coasters. He had gone surfing. He had done all the things that you're probably not supposed to do with a broken neck. But by God's grace, he survived until he had this intervention. But praise God that when the doctors saw his neck, they immediately saw the brokenness. It stood out so much to them because they knew what a healthy neck was supposed to look like. They knew what it was supposed to be. And when they saw that, and they said, they ain't supposed to be like that. And that's like that for you and me, right? Brokenness is all around us, and sometimes we don't even realize how broken we are. We don't even realize how broken we are. This text here in Isaiah 1 is like a spiritual MRI or a spiritual CT scan, God is saying to you and me, this is broken. And that is broken. This is torn. That's dislocated. That's cracked. And dude, that is all jacked up. All right? You see, God created you and me to have a relationship with Him. And implicitly, this text is saying, you're not experiencing that. God created you and me and all the world to experience joy and peace and harmony. God created you to know Him and for Him to know you fully. But sin has broken that. Sin has separated us from God. But again, that's not how it's supposed to be. And then God explicitly tells us how it's supposed to be. Look at verses 16 through 17 there. 16 and 17. Isaiah 1, 16 and 17. He says this. Notice what he says. He says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil from your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Beloved, that's what we should be. We should be clean and pure without any wickedness or any evil. We should be doing good, seeking justice. We should be correcting oppression. We should be standing up for the widow and for the orphan, yet we have fallen short. So we see the picture of what should be, and then we see the brokenness that is. And there's a gap. What are we to do with that gap? That gap is in my life. That gap is in your life based on what we have done. What do we do with that gap? And that brings me to the third truth I want to share with you this morning, is that God sent Jesus to redeem and restore us. Given all the brokenness around us, guys, that's awful news, right? That's why the atheistic worldview is depressing, because there's no hope in it. But guys, those of us who know that God is and that God has spoken, we have hope, because hope has come after us, right? God sent Jesus to redeem and to restore us. So yeah, we're broken. Yeah, we're all jacked up. We're like that 56 Chevy, all roached out, sitting in the field, ruined, but God has plans for us. Praise God, He's not ready to throw us out on the scrap heap of life. He's not through with us. He wants to restore us. He wants to redeem us. And I want you to look at God's amazing invitation right here and the promise that is in Isaiah 18. Guys, this is one of the most famous passages in Scripture because of the vividness of it and because of the amazing grace that's shared here and because of the hope that is found here. Look at what it says, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Do you see the vividness of the contrast there? We are scarlet. We are red. Our sin is very vivid and bright. And if you ever spill like grape juice or red Kool-Aid on your white shirt, guess what? It ain't coming out, right? It's ruined. That shirt's ruined. You cannot yourself clean out the stain, the red. You yourself cannot make your crimson white as wool. But God. Now you say, I didn't see Jesus' name in here at all. I didn't see Jesus' name at all. Think about this for just a moment. Just the other day, we had a snow day. And I heard that some teachers even did a snow dance. Not just the kids. I heard that some teachers did a snow dance. Now think about this for just a moment. What happened when the superintendent saw all of that white out there? What did he do on Tuesday? And on Wednesday, he did what? He canceled school, all right? So here's just something to keep in mind. The white stuff causes a cancellation. Okay? We just saw that this past week. Praise God. So I know some of you are so excited. I was up in Lexington, and they didn't get out of school. All right? Fayette County and Jessamine County, where we were, did not get out, but Warren County did. And so not everybody got to experience the grace that you guys got to experience here in Warren County. But it's the same thing here, that when God sees the whiteness of Jesus, see, that's actually what happens. Think about that for just a moment. When you look out on that snow day the other day, the ground wasn't actually white. The snow was white. The ground was brown or green or yellow or whatever color was underneath there. But the whiteness covered those colors. And I need you to understand, as you think about how is it that we're made white? We're made white because Jesus in his purity covers us. Your only hope, y'all, your only hope to have this white wool and this white snow sort of life and sort of soul is through Jesus Christ. Again, you may say, well, preacher, I didn't see Jesus' name anywhere in here. But you see the promise, right? You see the promise, and then we come into the New Testament and we see the fulfillment of that promise in the person of Jesus Christ. His life, his death, his resurrection, like that old hymn said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, to connect those two, he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be washed white as snow, that we might be cleansed and be white as wool. And you know well what it says in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And so when you think about these three truths here, these three truths, that indeed we live in a world with brokenness all around us and in us, and that's not how it's supposed to be. And so in order to correct that gap from what should be to what is, God sent Jesus to redeem us and to restore us. That leaves me with one conclusion this morning that I commend to every person here. And this morning you may already be a follower of Jesus Christ, but if you're not, we're explicitly sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with you this morning, that you might hear it and be cleansed, washed white as snow. Here it is. Here's the takeaway today. Repent and believe on Jesus so that you too can be washed snow.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.